Okay, this is continuing with Mills on 26 August 76. So you were saying that having the small spacings, you were able to pick up...
Yes, and it was obvious that along the galactic plane, there was a lot of complex structure of quite small scale, but obviously not as small as would be picked up by the wide-spaced interferometer, which had a resolution of a fraction of a degree.
Right.
And this was the basic cause of the our arguments at that time at Cambridge. In fact, I understand that the Cambridge people denied the existence of extended sources along the galactic plane. You should talk to the Manchester Jodrell Bank people about this, probably. They know more about it than I do. Anyhow, that's the situation.
So you're saying that even before the when the debate was most intense, namely the Mills Cross survey versus the Cambridge survey, even before the Mills Cross, that there was this difference in philosophy on extended sources?
Well, there was an argument then on a completely different ground, because the Cambridge people then believed that the majority of the isotropic sources which they found were radio stars at that time, and that there were no other strong sources along the plane. We were very open-minded about this and believed rather that the isotropic ones were extragalactic, and that there was a very strong component of extended sources along the plane. And this was a considerable source of debate.
Right.
And completely different subject, though, from the next one.
Yeah, well, but the point I'm trying to make is, do you think this is correct, that in both debates, that you were concerned with the short spacings, whereas Cambridge was neglecting them in your view, essentially. So that you got more extended.
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But now...
this survey was the basis for the cross, because we... I realized that it was necessary in any survey to have an instrument which would respond to close spacing and large angular size structure. Otherwise, one would simply miss it and miss a lot of the information available in the sky. And it was as a result of this survey that I thought of the cross and how it, as being the sort of thing one must use. One must use pencil beams for survey. That was the basic idea I had, not interferometers.
Okay, well... we won't have time to get into the cross today, but let me just finish up with this paper, which was an extension of your survey, in which you had six accurate positions in 52, and you confirmed the three IDs that had been suggested a few years before, and also had Centaurus and Fornax as being the first large angular-sized objects, I think, that were detected. Were there any surprises in this? Were you surprised to find these half-degree-sized things?
Well, in the sense that as soon as we switched on our close-spaced interferometer, we realized we had them.
Yeah.
It was the first thing that hit you in the eye, these large... we'd look at the same part of the sky. On the close spacing, you'd see an enormous interference pattern, and the wide spacing, a small one. You couldn't help seeing it.
But how in the world could Centaurus be something that's a half degree or degree, and you're trying to identify it with this one arc minute galaxy?
No. Centaurus A is about the galaxy, visible galaxy, is about 6 or 7 minutes of arc.
Okay.
And we did know that things extended out beyond it. So, although we didn't know...
Optical,
that,
you mean?
Optically, yes. Yeah. I think, yes. I think at that time De Vaucouleurs was in Sydney, and we had discussed with him quite a lot this question of optical extensions, so we knew that this did happen. What I didn't know then was, in fact, it was 6 or 7 degrees, or even more, across these two big blobs on either side. Our interferometer only gave about 20 minutes of arc equivalent size.
So you were lacking even the shortest spacings that were needed.
I was, yes.
So it wasn't a matter of sensitivity, it was a matter of missing...
missing Fourier companions, yes.
So then from this, there still was no conflict with the problem which is still with us today, namely, why is the radio emission out here when the optical object is here?
No, it wasn't.
That really didn't come, I guess, until, would you say, Jennison and Dasgupta's double thing in Cygnus was really the thing?
Yes, that was probably the first time that became obvious.
That was 53 in Nature.
I'm just wondering. I think there was also, before that, the it was clear that the emission in Cygnus A must extend quite a lot longer than the sort of 1 minute of arc which I had obtained.
But then, of course, you might expect at least that it would be centered on the
optical object. Jenison and Descartes, I think, as far as I remember, was the first indication that you could have a main concentration of emission way out in the galaxy. Yes.
Although I was talking with someone, I can't quite remember who now, who said that even though that result was around from 53 on, there were a lot of people that just did not believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Were you one of these?
No. Around about that time, we realized that this sort of thing was observationally reasonable. And you see, it did fit my results, too. All I had done was to miss
those missing species that we were talking about, right?
Yes, the zero point in the middle. And I myself was quite happy with it. I saw no reason to doubt it whatsoever.
But you weren't particularly worried about radiophysics of galaxies at this
point?
It
was obviously exceedingly interesting as to how this happened. And I'll have to think a bit more if I can as to just... I can't exactly remember at what time I began really to understand what was happening. I think it was about that time when my interests were first on the theoretical side were stimulated by Fermi's paper on his accelerating mechanism of cosmic rays, and I've had that in the back of my mind since probably before 1950 when I read that.
I see.
But it wasn't until Shklovsky's papers came out
that
everything made sense and fell into place.
Yeah, there's one of your later papers talks about abnormal galaxies as radio sources, observatory in 54. That must have been about when you were thinking of... And you say that 5128 probably is not colliding galaxies, or it seems unreasonable. So about this time, then, you must have been thinking about the physics of what's going on. Well, this is a good place to break, I think. We'll have to continue. Thank you.
All right.
So that finishes the first session with Bernie Mills on 26th August 76.